I just feel like jumping. Why don't you go to Hosea 4:6? Just going to read the first part of it. It's a very familiar scripture. We read it often. Most of these scriptures we share, we read all the time. The Message Bible says, "My people are ruined because they don't know what's right or true." The New Life Version says, "My people are destroyed because they have not learned." And I want you to keep those in mind because I'm going to reference them. Because I was, you know, you read different things, and I read things that talk about God can heal you or Jesus can heal you. And the more I think about it, I said, that's not accurate. God has healed us. It says, with the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. That means he has done it. 1 Peter 2:24 says that we were healed. Matthew 8:17 says Jesus took our infirmities. Yes, he did. So, how can two people have the same thing at the same time? If he took it from me, it's just like if you came and you took my iPad mini, I wouldn't have it anymore. You would. It says he took our infirmities. And so I just wonder, because we talk about healing, and it's important to understand that it's not God or Jesus that can heal you. They already healed you. what happens is we haven't learned how to appropriate what's been done for us, what's been given to us. You know, and I always like to think why things are, and I keep coming to the same place. It's either weak faith or no faith. Part of it, you know, has to do with, you know, kind of like a controversial conception. You know, I don't espouse to my faith grows. You know, I was given the measure of faith. What grows is my understanding on what it does and how to use it, you know. And as you've seen me before, I liken it to my cell phone, but since I don't have it, I'll use this, my iPad mini. When I first got this, I didn't even know how to turn it on. I had to read the book. And I found out how to turn it on. Then I found out how to download applications. Then I found out all of the other things that it could do. It stayed the same size. It didn't get any bigger. My understanding of what I could do with this iPad mini grew by leaps and bounds. And that's what we need to understand. The reason my understanding of how to use this iPad mini grew by leaps and bounds is when I didn't know how to do something, I asked Nan, you know, when I didn't know, or I would use it and figure things out. But if I didn't put my hands to it and start using it, my understanding of what it will do would not have increased. So I was able to branch out and use it. I know this. I know it can do it. I know it can. I know it can. I just have to figure out how to grab hold of it. But I believe there are two reasons that are prevalent. One is, this is why we have weak faith, a failure to seek God for ourselves. And the second, impatience. Impatience. We won't go to God for ourselves. We try and get by on someone else's faith. That may work when you're a baby Christian. But as you get mature, as you mature in Christ, God expects you to stand on your own feet, on your own faith, to use your own mouth, speaking the words that your own spirit gives you to say. And the other one is impatience. God said, in due season, you will reap. He didn't say might. He said, you will reap if you faint not. So that means if God said it, or since God said it, it should not matter how long it takes to manifest, number one. And the other thing that shouldn't matter is what we have to go through while we're waiting. If we have a sure promise, anybody ever bake a cake? Okay. Or a lasagna? I'm hungry enough already. Okay, we'll stay with the cake. All right. Well, first of all, the oven has to be heated to a certain temperature. And when you put the cake in, do you put the cake in, close the oven door, open the oven door right away, and pull out a cake and start eating it? No, you have to wait. And while you're waiting, the aroma of it fills the house, where you just want to just open it and grab it. But you have to wait until it's ready, until it's done. And we need to do the same thing sometimes when God has promised us something. His promise doesn't necessarily mean you're going to see the manifestation right now, but you know what it means? You're going to see it. When? In due season. If. That's right. Just like with that cake, if you get carried away because of the aroma, or you're just hungry, you just want cake, and you open that oven door, that cake that was rising to the occasion drops. And you can't get it to bed. You got to throw it out and start over again. You know, there are too many people where they're believing God for something, and they're just about there, and something happens, they stop. They stop. You know, and they stop for a number of reasons. But I think it all falls back into they didn't seek God for themselves and get instructions. See, and that's important, folks, because when you seek God for yourself, you hear him for yourself. And something happened. I used to, sometimes when things were tough, I was going through tough things when I was new, a brand new creature, right? Days old, so to speak. And I would listen to Jesus, not for the content. Things were rough. I just wanted to hear Pastor Clinton's voice. And it's like, I'm blah, and I hear his voice. It's like, okay. I can do this. No one could have told me, you know, Pastor Clinton is saying, I needed to hear his voice. And so when you're seeking God for yourself, you get to hear his voice, and you know it's his voice, and it is so comforting. So comforting. But if you don't seek God for yourself, you never get to hear it. You start speaking to your brother or sister in Christ, and that's fine for fellowship, but for direction, God is the one with the purpose and plan for your life. I strongly recommend you get your direction from him. When people call me and say, Pastor, I'd like to know what I should do, I tell them in a minute, this isn't going to take long. I'm not the one with the purpose and plan for your life. So you need to consult with him and then do what he tells you to do. I could tell you something that sounds good and looks good, and you'd be way off base. Then both of us would be in trouble. But if you go to God for yourself and you're patient, I'm telling you, there isn't anything like it. Okay, let's go to Luke 21. Because I didn't cut and paste it, I'll do it the old-fashioned way. I'll use the book. There's nothing really old-fashioned about it. Luke 21. Is that the right verse? I hope that's the right verse. Yeah, Luke 21, verse 19. says, in your patience possesses ye your souls. The word soul is the Greek word psyche. But it means breath, breath of life. And I like this one. The vital force which animates the body and shows itself in breathing. Soul is what makes your body go. It can also mean the seat of your feelings, desires, affections, aversions. You know, and patience becomes an important key because patience brings forth the vital force which animates the body and shows itself. So your patience allows your psyche to kick in. If you're not patient, you're not going to be using your psyche. You're not going to be thinking properly. You're not going to be thinking clearly. You're going to be anxious. And the Bible warns us against that. It says, be anxious for nothing. For nothing. That means there isn't a thing that can ever happen to us that should cause anxiety. Yet we're anxious all the time. Especially when we're traveling, let traffic show up. And right away, said, oh man, I should have put on Waze. The words that Jesus speaks to us are spirit and life. And the words Jesus speaks to me may not necessarily be spirit and life to you. That's why we have to go for ourselves. Okay? How many of you take medicine? Anybody here take medicine? Okay. What do you take medicine for? May I ask what you take it for?
Yeah, for elevated pressure.
Okay. Anybody else take blood pressure medication? What do you take? Amlodipine?
Yes.
Okay. What do you take? Oh, okay. But you both have the same thing. So why are you taking different meds? Okay. So that means you can't take the meds that you have and give them to him. They may not work for him. They may be deadly to him, but they're health to you. Same condition, two different means of controlling it. Same condition. You know, I take something different. I've been through, this body's been through the mill of them. Where most of them, I mean, the list of meds that my body doesn't like seems to be longer than the list that exists. But Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Again, we have to go to God for ourselves and find out what we are supposed to do with what's going on in these bodies. And we can't allow ourselves to become anxious because of what other studies, other people, other experts have said about what's attacking you. Because that'll happen. I've said this before. No one, I don't know of anyone that got anxious because they had hay fever. Matter of fact, people laugh, say, well, that's just my allergies. We'll take control of them because they're not deadly. They don't have, you know, they don't have a reputation of taking people out. So you sneeze, you don't think anything of it. Sneeze, God bless you, and just walk on. We don't rebuke anything when we sneeze. Because it's a sneeze. You know, it's my body cleaning dust or something out of my nose. But then if the doctor says, I see something, your hands get clammy. I wonder what that could be. And if he says to you, I think maybe we need to take a CT of this. Then you say, oh, I know this isn't going to be good. And you call your friend and say, I got an evil report. All he said was, I want to take a CT. And then if it comes back and he does see something or she does see something, and they say, well, I think we need to do some pathology on this. You know, so we're going to do a biopsy. We hear biopsy. What's the word that comes right after biopsy?
Cancer. Yes.
And then we get anxious. They think I have cancer. What makes you say that? Well, they saw something. And they're going to do a biopsy. Okay. That doesn't mean you have cancer. And even if you did, the Bible didn't say the name of Jesus is above every name except. It says the name of Jesus is above every name, period. So all that matters is, does it have a name? We have to know what God is saying to us about the situations that affect us, that are affecting and attacking our body. Because what someone else uses may not work for you for whatever reason. Hosea 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are ruined because they don't know what's right or true. We could put on the end of that, for them. My people are destroyed because they have not learned. God's people perish because they're not engaged in divine communication. Divine communication. That's communication between you and God. Period. Because God will never misquote himself. You talk to people and they'll misquote the Bible. Or they'll tell you what they think God told them about you. My position is, I am not a hard-headed man when it comes to speaking with God. Sometimes with people, I may be. But I know my Father's voice. And I hear his voice. Everybody that's a believer hears Jesus' voice. How do you know that? Because Jesus said so. My sheep hear my voice. So that means if we think we're not hearing his voice, maybe we have too much of a noise going on and we need to get quiet and secluded so we can hear. The other thing about not going to God for yourself is that people don't see things the same way. I used to do an exercise where I gave folks a sheet filled with words, and just practically most of the words had the letter F in them, and I said, okay, count the number of Fs. Everyone had the same sheet. Everyone came up with a different number. Okay. The sheet I gave was the absolute truth. But everybody saw a different truth. There were actually 38 Fs. I got everything from 17 to 42. Okay. But there were only 38 on the page. And everyone had the same page. I've done that exercise here in this church and youth fellowship and probably about a dozen times. And not once did everybody get the same number. And folks got indignant. What are you talking about? No, I know there's 19. No, there's not. But everybody's exposed to the same truth. Everybody has the word of God. We're exposed to the same word, but we see it differently. We interpret it differently. And we get in trouble sometimes because of that. And so if you don't know you're interpreting it incorrectly, you think you're right. Bible says each man thinks he's right in his own eyes. So you think you're absolutely right. And someone comes to you and asks you for some godly advice, and you share with them incorrect word. Well, where does that leave them? And they go on doing what you said and leaving here prematurely. Not understanding, God, I'm doing what you told me. No, you're not. You're doing what he told someone else. You want to talk to him for yourself and find out what he wants you to do about you and do that. If you don't get anything from this evening, understand that you are fully capable of communicating with God for yourself. And he'll tell you exactly what you need to do, and you'll understand everything he says. Everything. What was that song Petskin wrote? All you need, he is all you need. So everyone has access to the truth. The key is to find out how you get to the truth, because anything other than the whole truth is a perception of the truth. And when there's something going on in my body, I don't need a perception of the truth. I need the whole truth. And if I want the whole truth, I need to go to the truth myself and find out what the truth is in my situation. Now, we talked about a prescription. Listen to what a prescription is. A prescription is the action of laying down authoritative rules or directions. That's why this lesson is titled God's Authoritative Prescription. It's written direction for a therapeutic or corrective agent. WordNet says it's directions prescribed beforehand. The action of prescribing authoritative rules or directions, written instructions from a physician or dentist to a druggist concerning the form and dosage of the drug to be used to a given patient. I like what the American Heritage Dictionary says. The act of establishing official rules, laws, or directions. Prescription. Something prescribed as a rule, a written order, especially by a physician, for the preparation and administration of a medicine or other treatment. It's a prescribed medicine or prescribed treatment, and they're characteristics of a prescription. In the state of New York, the prescription must have a serial number, the name and address and telephone number and license number of the prescribing physician. It has to be there. It has to have the name, address, and age of the patient. Some require a gender. The medication, the strength, and the dosage has to be on the prescription. The duration of treatment needs to be on the prescription. And the number of times you refill it or can have it refilled. And then there has a very important part. There's a section where that doctor has to indicate if he wants the prescription dispensed as written, which means, do you want the original drug or do you want a generic? And the doctor has to sign that prescription. Then you give that prescription to the pharmacist where it'll be filled for a price. You know, they're not going to fill it for nothing. they're going to charge you. And you can refer them, but if, again, you don't have the legal right to share your prescription with another person. By law, you don't have the right to do that. Even if they tell you, I'm feeling the same way you're feeling. Anybody ever have symptoms of a headache? It's okay. A headache's not going to jump on you right now if you say so. How many of you took Tylenol for it? Anybody can't take Tylenol? Anybody ever take Advil? Anybody take aspirin?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's some things you can't. Right? I mean, I don't take Advil. I don't take aspirin. If I have to take anything, it'll be an extra strength Tylenol. My body doesn't like Advil. Aspirin thins my blood out too much. Okay, I mean, that's just... So if you offered me an aspirin, it could cause a problem. I mean, and if I don't know that, I just happen to know it. Well, how do you know it? Because I had a bleeding event. And I knew what the combination of drugs that I was on, a baby aspirin pushed it over the edge. So I don't take aspirin. And if I'm taking a headache, it's a serious headache if I'm taking something for it. Because I've learned to just speak to it and do something different where I'm not sitting down thinking, I got a headache. I make myself do something else where I'm not thinking about it, and next thing I know, I don't have it anymore. You know, it's gone. But see, each person, while we're similar, we're different. We have a different level of tolerance for different things. I'm telling you, of all the antibiotics that people take, my body doesn't like them. And that's okay. I just need to know that. And again, as I said, what may be beneficial to you may be fatal to someone else. The same drug, the same strength, for the same condition, doesn't work for everybody. God may tell you, confess 1 Peter 2:24 for the situation. He may tell someone else, go to the gym. So if he wants you to go to the gym and you don't because you didn't go to God for yourself, you went to someone else who said, hey, stand on 1 Peter 2:24, works for me. And you're confessing 1 Peter 2:24 and you don't know you're in disobedience because God wants you in the gym. Because working out is what you need to do. And that will release what needs to be released in your body. But if you don't go to God for yourself and find out what he wants you to do with you, you'll never know that. And you'll wonder why the word's not working for you. Because it's not the word that God wants us to use. We think we can just grab any scripture in the Bible at any time and use it for any situation. Tain't so. Tain't so. It's not so. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are ruined because they don't know what's right or true. My people are destroyed because they have not learned. Where there's no divine communication, the people perish. You have to remember that. God always provides. He just doesn't provide the same way all the time. And we need to understand that. Okay? God uses prescriptions. And his prescriptions have some of the same characteristics as natural prescriptions. Turn to Hebrews 4, please. I don't have to do high speed yet, but I have to do a little faster. Hebrews 4, this is a Passion Translation, verse 12. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, and it pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our heart. There is not one person, I like to say, or anything who can hide their thoughts from God. For nothing that we do remains a secret, and nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. See, so God's word is the serial number of whatever what prescription you want. Even if it's not the written word, he's going to tell you something based that on his word. Whatever God tells you, you will always be able to verify in his word. Everything. God, he's not going to tell you something apart from his word. You have to have contact information for him. Hebrews 13, in the Amplified Bible, somewhere around verse 5. Well, I'll start from verse 5. Let your character, your moral essence, your inner nature be free from the love of money, shun greed, be financially ethical, being content with whatever you have. Here we go. For he has said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you. I will never, under any circumstances, desert you. So contacting God shouldn't be an issue because he's always there. He said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. In Acts 2:21, it says, it'll come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say whoever shall call on the name of their prayer partner will be saved. It doesn't even say whoever shall call on the name of their pastor. It says whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because he's the only one that has the purpose and plan for your life. He's the only one. Well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I'll hold this one for a minute. He knows your name, your age, your address, and your gender. He knows. He said, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Now, we don't understand that scripture. It says, before I shaped you in the womb. Not once you got into the womb. Before, where were you before? Do you ever think about that? Where were you before where God knew, so God knew all about you? Spiritually, in the spirit realm. Before your spirit was chosen to be this baby in the forming in the womb, God knew all about you. All about you. Had plans made, laid out just for you. Every aspect of your life, every circumstance you'd ever encounter, he already knew before you were formed. Think about that. While you were in the spirit realm, you were getting acquainted with God. So why, now that we're out of the spirit realm, why wouldn't we stay acquainted with him? The spirit's the same. Because we look at natural things and we start putting our trust in natural things and we don't go to God and find out. And that's why sometimes we act like we don't know God. But he knew us and knows us from before we ever made it into the womb. He already knew everything there is to know about us. Another scripture says even the hairs on our very head are numbered. Or the pores that used to hold our hair are numbered. Whatever you want to say. Everything that there is to know about us, God knew before we were put in the womb. So why won't we go to him when things come up? Why won't we go to him when this body is malfunctioning? He's the manufacturer. He's the only one that knows every joint, every pin, every cartilage, everything about this body. He's the only one that's the expert. He's the only one. I hear all the time, and I take nothing from them, these doctors, that they're renowned for their research in this and this and this. Well, I can go to the one who did the research, or I can go to the one who did it. Okay? The one who they are researching. I'd rather go with them, because researchers miss things. God doesn't. Say, God doesn't. Like a prescription, God will tell you what to do and how to do it. Look at James 1. Then we're going to look at 1 and 2 Kings and then Joshua 6. James 1. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him. Verse 5, Living Bible. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. For he's always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. He will not resent it. So if you want to know what you should do about any situation, ask him. Okay? He will not resent it. But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to tell you. For a doubtful mind will be as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And every decision you then make will be uncertain as you turn first this way, then that. If you don't ask with faith, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. God, just like a prescription, will tell you how long you need to take it. God will do the same thing. 2 Kings 5. Naaman had leprosy. God sent word to him. Told him to go to the Jordan River and dip himself 7 times, as the prophet had told him to. And when Naaman did it, his flesh became as healthy as a little child, and he was healed. What if he only dipped 6 times? He'd have stayed a leper. He had to do it the way God said. What does God tell Joshua? This doesn't have to do with healing, but it has to do with how God operates. He'll tell you how long you need to do something. He'll tell you how long you need to stay. He'll let you know when it's time to go. He'll let you know when it's time to stop. He'll let you know every step of the way. He told Joshua, he said, I've given into thy hand Jericho. Thank you, Lord. I didn't see that before. We were talking earlier about how God, he already healed us, but we can't seem to appropriate it for whatever reason. He says, I have given you Jericho. But they didn't have Jericho yet. The actual acquisition of Jericho hadn't manifested, but God said, I have given you Jericho. I've given it to you. He said, see, I've given it to you. Now, they're outside of Jericho, looking at these tremendous walls, and probably wondering, how in the world are we going to get through there? And God says, see, I've given it to you. And they're like, uh-huh, okay. He says, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You shall compass the city, all ye men of war, go around the city once and do it for 6 days. I've given it to you, but these are the things you need to do so you can acquire it. But I've given it to you. I sent my word and healed you, but these are the things you need to do to acquire it. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn, and the 7th day you shall go around the city 7 times. See, they did it. What we would do is 7 times. The only other, why 7 times today? We only had to do it once before. And so we'll do it once again. And you blow the horns and all these arrows come at you. And you're like, God, what happened? You didn't follow my prescription. And when you shall hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. When you hear God's instructions, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him great praise. Okay? That all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. That's God's prescription. His prescription never runs out, so refills are not necessary. says so in Philippians 4:19, my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, the Amplified Classic says, your every need. God will fully supply, fill to the full, your every need. And there's no time frame given. He didn't say, I'll do it for a year. He didn't say, 10 years, you should be pretty full by then. No. And God always wants the prescription dispensed as written. He said in Isaiah 55, rain and snow come down from the sky. They do not go back again until they water the earth. They make it sprout and grow so that it produces seed for farmers and food for people to eat. My word, my prescription, which comes from my mouth, is like the rain and the snow. It will not come back to me without results. It will accomplish whatever I want and achieve whatever I send it to. In Jeremiah 1, verse 12, he said, that's right, from this know that I am watching over my word until it's accomplished. That's the Voice translation. God wants his prescriptions filled exactly the way he said it, because he's only watching over what he said. If you do it your way, he ain't watching over that. He said, I watch over my word until it's accomplished. So as long as you're never going through anything alone, because until that thing leaves you, God is going to be right there making sure his word is doing what his word is supposed to do. Every single time. And we have to believe that. In John 12, I may share this in another context in a few minutes, but right here, Jesus said, this is because I have never spoken on my own authority, on my own accord, Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, or as self-appointed, but the Father who sent me has himself given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell. So Jesus wouldn't say or wouldn't tell anything unless he got it directly from the Father. He said, and I know that his commandment means eternal life. Do we know, do we understand that what God says means eternal life? What God says means natural life. So whatever I speak, so because I know what the Father has said and I know what his words mean, whatever I speak, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say and in accordance with his instructions. Period. If you don't go to God for yourself, you won't find out exactly what you're supposed to say. You won't find out his instructions. So how can you do things according to his instructions if you never heard his instructions? Well, so-and-so told me, so-and-so is not God. You need to go to God. We need to get in the habit of hearing from God what to do and what to say. And we'll have the same results. Said, so whatever I speak, I'm saying exactly what my Father has told me to say and in accordance with his instructions. And the good thing about God's prescription is the price has already been paid. We're not going to be charged for filling his prescription. Now, remember, if you know someone who's going through the same thing you're going through, do not give them your prescription. Send them to see the same one you had to go see. And let God tell that person, this is what you need to do about your situation. Too many people have weakened their faith doing things that were not ordained by God. This is where people get confused. They think just because it's the word of God they're speaking, it should work. Not if it's not what God told you to do. For example, this is silly, but it's a good example. Pastor Sarah, when I first heard Pastor Sarah say it, I said, I'm glad I didn't hear this beforehand because I wouldn't have gotten born again because I already thought that Christians were nuts. From what I saw growing up, that's what I thought. The Bible says, now Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that shall I give, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's what he said. So someone came up to Pastor Sarah, who was married to Pastor Clinton, and claimed her as his wife. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Didn't go to the Father. Somebody explained that scripture to him and didn't give him the whole skinny on it. And so he had to deal with Pastor Sarah. then he probably needed to be ministered to after that. But people do dumb things because I'm not being judgmental. But just because the Bible says something happened doesn't say that we're supposed to do it as a ritual. You know, no, I'm not going to come down on Sunday morning and have someone dump a barrel of rattlesnakes in front of me just to show you. I'm going to just pick them up. And I'm not going to pick up a jar of poison and drink it. Because the Bible didn't say, drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. Folks, my Bible says whatever I bless, I can eat anything I want to eat as long as I bless it. Really? What if God told you not to eat it? What if he told you not to eat it? He said, no, I want you off sugar. But someone baked an apple pie. And offered you a slice, right? He said, Father, I thank you for this that you provided. Thank you that it'll nourish my body. Then you eat it, and your body goes haywire. And you're like, God, what's going on? I blessed it. And all they said, well, I told you, don't put any sugars in your body. Or God will tell you to fast. I want you to fast. And we do our own interpretation of what we think fast means. We don't say, God, what do you mean by fast? Okay. No food, no drink. What is it? Folks will come and say, no, I decided to fast. Did God tell you to fast? No, I decided to fast. For what? For what purpose? What purpose? And what type of fast? Are you going to drink water? Are you drinking nothing? Well, Jesus fasted. Yeah, it all said he did without food or drink. What is God telling you to do? Well, I didn't ask God. Well, maybe you want to. Before you just jump out there and do something, you need to find out, is that what God wants you to do? The deacons and elders fasted. You don't know what God told them. You need to go find out what he's telling you and do what he tells you because that's what will work for you. And that's the only thing that will work for you. People say to me, what do I do? I've developed a nice answer for that. It's, well, Pastor, what do you do? What God tells me. No, but I'm real. What do you do? What God tells me. Why? No, because I should do the same thing. Okay, then do what I do. Well, what do you do? What God tells me. Sometimes they get it because I don't change and say, I'm trying to get you to understand you need to go to God. No, I want them to get the revelation. So I just keep saying what God tells me. Sometimes they say, oh, I got it. I need to go to God for myself. Yeah, there you go. Some just walk away. But it's important for them to get the revelation themselves, because if they don't get it themselves, I'm still telling them what to do. So I'll say things to help you get it, because then you realize, hey, I can get it from God myself. Yes, you can. I'm telling you, I get excited when I don't have meetings. I do, because that means the congregation has figured it out. And that's what that's what you want. Pastor Ed and I are not people who we want you dependent on us. No, we want you to stand on your own two feet and hear God for yourself, because it's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that speaks to us speaks to you. And if he's speaking to us about you, he's speaking to you about you. And we should never say anything that he hasn't already told you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are ruined because they don't know what's right or true. My people are destroyed because they've not learned. Where there's no divine communication, the people perish. We need to understand that. Well, let me give you, in 9 minutes, some examples of God handling the same condition differently. I'm going to give you scripture references. I don't have time to read them. But when you look at when people were hungry, right, in Exodus 16, he sent manna from heaven. In 1 Kings, he had ravens bring food. In Matthew 14, the loaves and fishes were multiplied. Okay, he met the need, but he didn't do it the same way. Folks were thirsty. He told them once, he told them to smite the rock. Once he told them, speak to the rock. And when he told them to speak to the rock, they didn't listen. He smote the rock anyway and got in trouble. Even though water came, he's like, that's not what I told you. Okay. Jesus used different prescriptions. For leprosy, he told one leper, he touched him and said, be thou clean. To another, he didn't lay hands on him. He didn't even say, be healed. He said, go show yourself to the priests. But in both cases, they were healed. But he didn't do it the same way. Oh, the blind eyes. He told one, receive his sight. He told the other, make some mud. He made some mud with spit and smeared it on the guy's eyes and told him to go wash. He sent Paul to Ananias so he could get his sight back. Three different people, three different cases, three different ways. Same condition. Blindness. For whatever reason. When Paul said he had his thorn, he said, my grace is sufficient. He didn't do anything to take it away. He was like, my grace is enough. Deal with it. But each time, everybody got what they needed, but the prescriptions were different. But the results were the same because each person had the right prescription for them. Because in each of those cases, the individuals did not send their friends to ask Jesus, what do I need to do to be healed? They came themselves and they got ministered to themselves, the ones that could. You know, the centurion servant couldn't. He was paralyzed. But we need to go for ourselves. This is why Jesus knew what to do in every situation. In John 5, verse 19, he said, I assure you, it is the Amplified Bible, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself of his own accord, but he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way in his turn. I already shared John 12:49, but I told you I was going to share it in a different application. This is because I have never spoken on my own authority or of my own accord or as self-appointed, but the Father who sent me has himself given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So whatever I speak, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say and in accordance with his instructions. In the Message Bible, he said, I'm not making any of this up on my own. The Father who sent me gave me orders, told me what to say and how to say it, and I know exactly what his command produces, real and eternal life. That's all I have to say. That's what Jesus said. Okay. Jesus knew that God's people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. He knew that God's people were ruined because they don't know what's right or true. He knew that God's people were destroyed because they have not learned and that they weren't getting any divine communication, so they perish. So he got the prescription directly from God. He became the prescription. We need to learn how to go to him and find out the prescription he has for us and what we are going through and do that. Let the Holy Ghost guide you into all the truth there is, just like Jesus said he would do. Then you won't be ruined. Learn what God said, and it will prevent your destruction. Stay in divine communication with him. You won't perish. Jesus filled and followed God's authoritative prescriptions. As the scripture says, go ye and do likewise. I'm done. All we have to do is what God tells us individually. Individually. That's why you notice when I pray before a Sunday or Wednesday evening service, I ask God, please let each person hear exactly what you need them to hear based on your purpose and your plan for their lives. How? First, as individuals. Second, as members of the body at large. And third, as members of this congregation. But he wants you to hear what he needs you to hear, regardless of what the speaker is saying. I want God's voice to come through my words and minister to your heart so you'll know exactly what you need to do. Exactly. And all you have to do is listen. Believe what you heard is God speaking to you directly, and then do it. And don't do it wondering if it's going to work. I don't start my car wondering if it's going to start. I don't do that. I don't go into the refrigerator wondering if there's going to be food. I don't go to bed wondering if there's going to be the next day. I go to bed, I have plans for the morning. We make plans for, we're going on a cruise 2 years from now. We never think about, boy, am I going to be here 2 years from now? But God will tell you to do something, and like, was that really God? You know, or what's going to happen if it doesn't work? You might as well not do it because it's not going to work for you now. You just said you don't believe it. You need to repent and go back from God to God and find out if the instructions have changed. They probably haven't because God said, you know, he's the Lord, he changes not, but he may say it to you a little differently. But the key is you keep going back to God until you get it right. And then once you've gotten it right, continue to go back, keep going to God, so you stay right. People are well-meaning. I love people. But people ain't God. And people don't have God's purpose and plan for you. They may have a plan for you, but it may not necessarily be God's purpose and God's plan for your life, and that's the plan you want. So if there's anything going on in your body, See, one verse I didn't share, it said, well, God's word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, divides. I shared that one, but I didn't share every word is God-breathed. And it's profitable. Every scripture is profitable when used correctly and at the appropriate time. Because, and God gave it, so they said, so the man of God may be fit, thoroughly fit for every good work. You're not fit for every good work if sickness has racked your body. And since God's word will make sure that the man or woman of God is fit, you need to go to God.